Thank you, worship team, for that wonderful songs that you brought this morning. For a few minutes, we are going to turn to God's Word. I want you all to please not walk around. Please do not, if you can, not go anywhere. Just sit before the Word of God as the Lord wants to speak to us. Today is the Resurrection Sunday, and I am aware about it. And so, as I was praying about this, the Holy Spirit, at the end of the day, there is one thing that the Lord wants us to do, is that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And at the end of the day, as a nutshell of all what the Gospels have written, the essence of writing the Gospels and the narrations from four different eyewitnesses is that we need to believe. Can you all look towards me? We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Kartava Yeshu Kristu Deva Putrana Namla Vishwasikanam. That is how John the Apostle ended up his Gospel in chapter 20, verse number 31, where it says that you should believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in His name. In the name of Jesus, that is what the Lord wants us to believe. And one of the greatest reasons how we can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is by the event that happened 3 days after He died, which is the resurrection from the grave. Otherwise, He would have been just an ordinary person. There are many ordinary people who came, even extraordinary people who came, who could not do one thing that Jesus did was He rose up from the dead on the third day. And so today we are going to look into the topic how we can believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, our hope as believers in Christ is focused on three parts of His ending, which is His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Without one of these three things, our faith will be futile and worthless. Many years ago, there was a headline in the Salt Lake Tribune. It was published a day before Easter, and the headline was this: can you be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection? Can you be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection? And as I mean, this was a crazy question. I mean, how can such a question be raised? So we would think that as soon as the journalists began to research the topic among the Christian clergy, and she would have decided that it was a foolish question, that it's not worth even pursuing. But instead of that, do you know that when she started writing her column, her opening paragraph was like this: many scholars dismiss it. Some theologians downplay it. Even some worshippers dodge it. What is that it? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. They dismiss, they downplay, they dodge. But for most of the Christians, the idea that Jesus Christ's body literally was resurrected is a fundamental of our faith. This is the fundamental of our faith, that Jesus was buried and on the third day He rose again from the grave. But the surprising thing about the finding of that article was that it was not unanimous that without the resurrection, our preaching and our faith is useless. People want to discount the resurrection of Christ, and it is something that we cannot even believe it. There are many people who say they are Christians, but they do not believe in the resurrection. But don't be surprised about it. Did not happen now. If you look back 2000 years ago, on the day that Jesus rose up from the grave, even on that day, there were people who did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. They were people, sincere people, but they did not believe. So today, I want us all to go back 2000 years ago, and I want to bring about the story that happened on the day of resurrection. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. It's a very touching and moving story about that is recorded in Luke chapter 24. And we are going to start with reading the first two verses, verses 13, 14 and 15. We are going to read those verses. And this is how the story starts here. It says that, behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they talked together of all the things that had happened, so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I want to bring to you alive about a story, a narrative that is only found in the Gospel of Luke. Our story begins with two men walking down a road towards a town which was 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem called Emmaus. These two men had been followers of Jesus Christ. And in fact, one person's name is mentioned, and that is in verse number 18. He says his name was Cleopas. But the other person, the name is unknown. There were two people. And these two people had watched Jesus speak. They had watched him heal the sick. And they had seen him die. Then they heard reports from the woman that the tomb was empty. But they did not believe them. They did not believe the woman that the tomb was empty. They had hoped that Jesus would free the people, the Jews, from the Roman oppression. But their hopes were now shattered. And we get an impression that these men were disappointed. They were discouraged because God did not do what they wanted God to do. That is, free the Jews from the Roman tyranny, the Roman oppression on the Jews. Looks like their dream of freedom and victory seemed to die with Christ, who died on the cross and was buried. And so when you look at these two men, we see that they were blind. They were blind to the truth about Christ. They were blind to the meaning of the cross. And they were blind to the reality of the resurrection. You see, the concept of resurrection lies in the heart of our faith and belief. It is like the main pillar of our belief is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you take away the resurrection, all our faith is useless. It is zero. Our faith and belief is destroyed. That is why when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 14, Apostle Paul writes, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. There is no substance in our preaching. There is no substance in our faith if Christ has not risen. So let me tell you this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ affirms to us that he is the Son of God, just as he claimed to be. And it proves that we can experience that same power through a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We can experience that power of resurrection in our life when we are connected with God through the person of Jesus Christ. Sadly, today there are a lot of people who allow things to blind them about the truth about Christ. But today, as we are going to take a deeper look, My hope is that our vision will not be clouded. My hope is that our line of sight will not be obstructed by the most important aspect of our faith and belief. That is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I want to take a few minutes and we are going to see why these two people were blinded to the truth of the resurrection. Why they were blinded? I just want us to examine. Let us go a little more deeper. Number one, I want to tell you four different things. Number one, these two men were blinded by their emotions. They were blinded by their emotions. Look at Luke 24 verses 15 to 17. Everyone, please follow along with me to the story. So these two men, as they were walking, and we heard, you know, Jesus. So it was that while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. The resurrected Christ is joining their company and he's also walking along with them. But it says their eyes were restrained, that they did not know him. They did not know that Jesus is walking with them. And Jesus is saying to them, what kind of conversation is that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Look, Jesus is saying, what kind of conversation, what kind of talk is it? As you are walking, you appear to look sad. You look sad. You see, the past couple of days have been extremely emotional in these lives of these two men. They were followers of Christ. They were devoted to his teachings and the plans, but all their hopes were dashed. Their plans were shattered with the death of Christ. And so they are on the road, you know, as we all talk about what happened. They are walking, talking with one another about all the things that took place. They are talking with each other. But it was an emotional conversation. And as they were talking, Jesus comes and hears their conversation. He goes along with them. And this was a discussion about the life and the capture, the betrayal, the court appearances, all that happened, how Jesus was tried in six different courts. They all said he's innocent. They talked about Pilate, who washed his hands, saying, I have nothing to do with this innocent man. He has not done nothing worthy of death. They talked among themselves about the whole series of events, how he was flogged, how he was stripped, how he was made to carry the cross on the Mount of Golgotha to Calvary, how they nailed him on the cross. They were talking about all of that. And then how he died and how he was buried. And in order to make that burial kind of concrete, how the Roman soldiers not only sealed the tomb, they were guarding the tomb that no one can steal his body. But there is something which I want you to pay attention. It says their eyes were restrained. They could not know Jesus. In other words, they were blinded to know who he really was. He was right with them and they did not know it. I want to bring it to our life applications. Many times, when we are going through emotional situations, we do not even realize the presence of God who is close to us. Hallelujah. We do not know how close he is to us and we are venting out our emotions. Let me tell you, emotions are good. Emotions are important. But our faith is not built upon our emotions. And there is sometimes a struggle between faith on one side, facts on the other, and our feelings on the third side. They all seem to clash within us. But let me tell you, God has given us emotions for a reason. But we do not put our faith in our feelings and emotions. we put our faith on the facts and the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't go by feelings. Go by what the word is written. That is where we, our faith is grounded on. That is the foundation of our faith. The word of God and the person of Jesus Christ. And so, don't allow your emotions to blind you from the facts and the reality of God's word. Don't allow your feelings to influence your faith negatively. Because if you think about this, they did not even realize what Jesus had spoken. Many times he had told them how he would suffer, die, but be raised on the third day. He had spoken in front of everybody, destroy this body. In 3 days, I will raise it up. They did not realize that Jesus had already told them about the resurrection. They allowed their emotions to take over. I am telling you like this, two men. Don't be blinded by your emotions. I know maybe things may not have worked out perfectly for you. But I want you to know that this word will never change. Put your trust in God's word. Continue to believe in him. And he will lead you through. And so, today let me tell you, you may not realize it, but Jesus may be closer to you than you think. Maybe walking right in beside of you, hearing your talk, hearing your conversation, the talks that you make. He may be hearing every word. So, these two men, number one, they were blinded by their emotions. Number two, not only they were blinded by their emotions, I think they were blinded by their circumstances. All that happened, they were blinded by that. Let's look at the next few verses. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read from verse 18 onwards. 18 to 24. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see." You see, the men could not see the purpose of God behind the events that happened earlier on that Sunday morning. So as they talk to this stranger, they are asking him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things that happened in these days?" And look at how Jesus is responding. What things? It's like an open-ended question. He wants them to talk it over. Sometimes it's good to talk it over, brothers and sisters. Don't keep it in your heart. One of the ways how counselors are effective in the lives of people who are distressed is they meet in counseling sessions and they allow them to talk. They will ask open-ended questions. Tell me how you're feeling. What is going on with you? And they will open up and start talking and sharing their feelings and everything. That's how, when you talk it over, when you share it, it is half the problem is cut off. You share it with someone. And so Jesus is asking very open-ended questions. What things? He does not say that I don't know or know or anything. He's just asking them, what things are you talking about? But they, you know, speak about Christ in very good terms. They say that he was a prophet, was mighty in word and deed. And then they said, "We were hoping." You know, this was our earnest hope that he will redeem Israel. But today is the third day that it has happened. What has happened is that they allowed their circumstances to dictate their understanding of who Christ was and what he has done. They know what Christ has done. Number one, he was a prophet. Number two, he was a miracle worker. He was mighty in preaching, in word, and in deed, he was mighty. We had expected, we have put our expectations upon Christ. We had hoped that he will redeem Israel. He will, free Israel from the Roman rule. But that did not happen. They allowed their circumstances to dictate their understanding of who Christ was and what he has done. You know, they could not see the victory of the cross because they were blinded by injustice of what happened at the cross. They could not see the power of the resurrection because they were blinded by their experience. They had seen Christ was paraded before the high priests and the rulers. They had seen him condemned and crucified. They had seen him die. But you know, the same person who crucified and died 3 days before them was now walking with them and talking with them on the road to Emmaus. Just imagine, Christ left everything else when he saw that there were two people who were disappointed walking away from the scene of action. Because Jerusalem was a scene of action. They are walking away back disappointed. They say, you know, he did not meet our expectations. Christ, the resurrected Christ, could have done so many things. He left everything and he joined with them as they walked to Emmaus. Many times we encounter the same obstacle. Sometimes our life, I don't know to whom I'm talking to you. Maybe your life situation leaves you to a place where you are blinded by the reality of Christ. Maybe it was a situation you thought you got this in your hand. You have done it all. And you are living a life in a way that you thought your expectations are done. And you did not see God having a bigger plan for you. Many times the Lord says, my thoughts, my ways, my plans for you are higher than your thoughts, your ways and your plans about me, about your life. God has a higher purpose. He has a higher power and he has a greater plan. We need to understand the plan of God, brothers and sisters. Don't allow your circumstance to blind you from seeing the work of God in your life. You know, if you look back in your life, you are now, right now, in this place, in North Carolina or South Carolina. The Lord has brought you here with a purpose. There is a greater purpose of God. You need to understand why it has happened for you. And you need to seek the will of God, how you are moving forward. Let not your vision be distorted by the circumstances around you. Don't be blinded by your emotions. Don't be blinded by your circumstances. The third thing I would tell you, this is very important. They were blinded by their unbelief also. They were blinded by their unbelief. Let's turn to Luke 24, verses 25 to 27. And then Jesus is talking back to them after he heard everything. He's telling them like this. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You see, Jesus is giving them a Bible class as they are walking. There is no Zoom, there is no PowerPoint. He is talking to them about the prophecies and how they were relating to Christ and how it got fulfilled. Jesus started talking about that to these two men who were very disappointed. Now, someone rising from the dead was not a foreign thing for the Jews. They knew that concept. They were familiar about it. But they have even heard about Jesus being resurrected. But the problem was, this knowledge was in their head and not in their heart. One of the problems many of us face is that we know a lot of things, but they are all here. They have to come down into our heart in the form of belief. Amen. Head knowledge is good, but not good enough. That knowledge has to come down into an act of belief and faith. The real problem was not that they did not know, they knew what need to be known. But they did not believe. And Jesus pointed out and said, you are slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. You are not willing to believe what the prophets had been prophesying. You are slow to believe. And you see, what was the basic problem of these two people? They did not believe the promises about Christ written in the Old Testament. They needed a fresh understanding about God from the Word of God, and Jesus expounded, or He brought the Word to life to them. He brought out passages from the Bible. I wish I was there as part of them to hear Jesus expound with this wisdom. Because He is the author of the book, He knows everything that He has spoken. And so when He spoke, how beautifully He would expound to them. And so Christ began to explain. What did He explain? Everything concerning Himself in the scriptures, what was written. So let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we are believers, but one of the things that we don't experience the fullness of Christ, listen to me very carefully. We are all believers. We are all Christians. I know that. But one of the things that prevent us from experiencing the fullness of God through Christ is that we still do not believe that it's going to work for us. We don't believe it in our heart. We don't believe that He loves us so much. We cannot believe that God would love us so much. We cannot believe that He wants to have a relationship with us. That's why we may not even bother to talk to Him or read His word and allow Him to talk to us. We do not believe that He honors the life of faith. So we are walking by sight. We look at things. We are moving forward. But God wants us to walk by faith in His word. Maybe we believe in the resurrection. But do we experience the power of resurrection on a daily basis? You know, these people were blinded by their unbelief. And many times, how much we miss the blessings of God because we do not see the truth. We are blinded by the unbelief. Many times, we have to get it. We have to understand that. And it says that here, Jesus finally, I want to go down to the end of the passage. Jesus finally, what He did, He allowed their eyes to be opened. They opened their eyes. If you were there in the Bible study last Wednesday, we heard about our eyes needs to be opened. We need to open our eyes to understand the reality of what God is doing in our life. Brother Roy spoke about the servant of Elisha who was troubled by the soldiers guarding, and Elisha prayed, God opened his eyes. When he opened his eyes, he saw the mighty army of God that is shielding them from the army of the enemy. Many times our eyes are not open, brothers and sisters. There are promises that we are not cashing out because our eyes are not opened to see how God can work in our lives. We want to ask God to open our eyes and allow Him to show us what He will do for us. We have not even scratched the surface yet. Even the periphery of what the blessings of God, we have not scratched. We do not know. That is why the word of God says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of a man, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you say a loud hallelujah? Hallelujah. You know, God has great store of treasures for you to carry you through your life. Sometimes our lives are very hard. We cannot go alone. We need the help of God. We need the power of God. We need the power of resurrection to walk in our eyes. And so, in this case, the end of the story is that, let me take you to verse number 31. Luke 24, verse number 31. You know, Christ allowed their eyes to be opened to see who he really was. You see, in verse number 31, then their eyes were opened and they knew him. The moment their eyes were opened, they knew him. It says he vanished from their sight, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn while he was talking to us and when he opened the scriptures to us? So they arose that very hour. That very hour, it was very late in the night. If you read the previous verses, they had walked 7 miles from Jerusalem. That very hour when Christ opened their eyes, what did they do? Did they say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, let's have a prayer meeting and praise God? No. Look at the verses, brothers and sisters. I want you to see what will happen when God will open our eyes to who he is. What will we do? What do we be the same? Are we the same? No. We cannot be the same when he opens our eyes and we see the reality of who he is. It says that they arose that very hour, that late hour in the night, and it says they went back to Jerusalem. Maybe running. I can imagine them running now. 7 miles they were running back. They already walked 7 miles. It is 7 miles all the way back to Jerusalem. And then they said they found the 11 people, the 11 apostles, and those with them gathered together. And they are saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. You see, they are confirming that Jesus is really risen. He has appeared to Simon. Let me tell you that if you allow unbelief to rule your life, you know, how can you know the word unless you read the word? We need to read the word first of all. Number two, we need to pray to God to open our eyes of understanding. When we ask God to open our inner eyes, he will open our eyes of understanding. And once we know the truth of God's word, brothers and sisters, our life will not be the same. We cannot sit still unless we tell somebody, Christ has risen from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there was a time when the world believed that, people believed that this earth was flat. That was a time when Columbus started on a journey to look for India on a sea, and then he discovered the United States of America. They felt that the earth was flat. If you go, you will fall down into an abyss. You will never come out. But Columbus was believing that he will find, by his calculations, he is going to find the place. And so he started on a journey, not blinded by their unbelief. Also, we know that Copernicus, you know, he brought the theory that no, the whole solar system was not revolving around the earth, but the universe was revolving, you know, around the sun. The solar system was revolving around the sun. Because those days they believed that the whole universe was revolving around the earth. You know, if you go by the standard unbelief, we cannot do anything. Don't let your unbelief and your lack of faith blind you to the greatest adventure that he has to offer. So we are going to come to the crux of the story, or what I want you to hear. Why should you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? If Jesus did not rise from the dead, our faith would be a foolish fantasy. If the resurrection of Christ did occur, it will confirm his life, his message, and his work that he has done. It is the basis of our hope of life beyond the grave. Christ is alive. The evidence is overwhelming. You cannot get away from the facts. Let me tell you a few reasons why we can be so sure that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Number one,
Jesus predicted his own death. Not only his death, he predicted his own resurrection. We don't have the time, but I will quickly tell you the verses where in the Gospels it's written. Jesus predicted his own resurrection. Matthew chapter 16 verse 21. Mark chapter 9 verse 9 and 10. John chapter 2 verses 18 to 22. He predicted that he will rise again. While he was alive, he told again and again to the people, I am going to rise up from the dead. He predicted his own resurrection. Number two, the Old Testament has promised that Jesus will rise again. There are many verses in the Old Testament, but let me just bring you a few verses. Psalm 16 verse 10. Compare that with Acts chapter 2 verse 25 to 31. And also Acts chapter 13 verses 33 to 37. The Old Testament promised that Jesus will rise again. The third evidence is that the tomb was empty and the grave clothes was vacant in the tomb. If those who opposed Jesus wanted to silence the disciples, all they had to do was produce a body. But they could not produce a body. John chapter 20 verses 3 to 9 speaks about that. They could not produce a body because there was no body. The grave clothes were only there. The tomb was empty. Number four, the fourth evidence is many people saw the resurrected Christ. In fact, the word of God says they looked on his face, they touched him, they heard his voice, they saw him eat. Let me give you some verses. Matthew chapter 28, 16 to 20. Luke chapter 24, 13 to 39. John chapter 20, verses 11 to 29. John chapter 21, verses 1 to 9. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 8. All these verses show that people saw the resurrected Christ. The fifth point why we can believe on the resurrection is that the lives of the disciples were revolutionized after the resurrection. You know, these were people who denied, who ran away when Jesus was captured. Peter denied him three times. They ran away, but you see what happens? They came back to proclaim the risen Christ. And we see that. You know, this is something that we understand. How can they come back to preach a Christ who has not risen? The resurrection was the central message of the church. And the church grew in such conviction that Christ has risen and he was the Lord of the church. Do you know that today people will die only for a cause that they believe? They will never die if they don't believe in the cause that they are adhering to. We see about different faith, people dying for their faith. I don't want to name anything, but you know the apostles, among the 12 apostles of Jesus, 11 of them became martyrs for Christ. They were willing to die for the gospel because they believed that Jesus has risen from the dead. Otherwise, they will not give up their life and they will not die for that. So there is, the start of the church. You know, the church grew so rapidly at the beginning stages in 20 years says that the gospel reached up to the Caesar's palace in Rome in 20 years after Christ has risen. And this movement went through many competing ideologies and finally overwhelmed the Roman Empire. Finally, the last reason I would say is from personal experience. You know, men and women today testify the power of the risen Christ has transformed their lives. We know that Jesus is alive not because of only historical and biblical evidence, but he has miraculously touched our lives. We cannot dispute that people are encountering the risen Christ all over the world through dreams and visions, People are encountering the risen Christ today. And they all say that Jesus changed their lives. Hardened sinners have become great proponents of the faith, all because of a risen Christ. And the final evidence, not the only evidence, is that the message of Christ can open a door for us to have a divine encounter with Christ. So brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this. Don't get blinded by your emotions, your circumstances, or your unbelief. Open your eyes. Ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes to the truth of Christ. Do you know that God emptied heaven to fill the manger? God emptied the manger to fill the cross. God emptied the cross to fill the tomb. And finally, God emptied the tomb to fill your heart. And I want to ask you, is your heart filled with the person of Christ? Have you invited Jesus, Lord, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life? Today, Jesus wants to dwell in our hearts. And for that, we have to believe in the resurrection of Christ. So as I'm closing here, I want to tell you why I do believe in the resurrection of Christ again. One, the historic nature of his resurrection is airtight. Nobody can dispute it. In fact, we went to Jerusalem. We went and saw the empty tomb as also. His empty, his only one tomb that is empty and says he is not here, he is risen. Only one tomb all over the world. He is risen. The works of Jesus went unchallenged. The identity of Jesus was confirmed, not only by people, but by demon powers. For, you know, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. They all confirmed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The death of Christ was undisputed. And then he was buried for 3 days. That was secured and sealed with the Roman seal. And on top of that, the soldiers were guarding the tomb that no one would steal the body. But then on the third day, Jesus rose up from the grave. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter whatever they put, man put, God opened, took off the stone, and Jesus rose up. And not only he rose up, he walked on this earth for 40 days, giving undisputable facts that he is alive. Jesus has risen from the dead. And so I want to ask you this question. Do you believe in the resurrection of Christ in your heart? You know, predicted by the Old Testament. I want to just very quickly give you a couple of things. Before, hundreds of years before Jesus came to this world, you know, the prophecies were accurately fulfilled. Let me just mention a few of them. It was predicted that his side will be pierced in Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10. It was fulfilled that we read in John chapter 19 verse 34. It was predicted that his heart will be broken in Psalms 22 verse 14. That was fulfilled in John chapter 19 verse 34. It was predicted that his bones will be unbroken in Psalms 34 verse 20. It was fulfilled in John chapter 19 verse 33. Not one of his bones were broken. And finally, it was predicted that he was buried in a rich man's tomb in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 9. It was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 27 verse number 45. He was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, a tomb that was never used before. Predicted hundreds and hundreds of years, 700 years before Jesus was born. Not only these prophets, I don't have time. It says that over 300 Old Testament prophecies was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Literally to the dot, without a change, all the prophecies were fulfilled. Even what he would say on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Read Psalms 22 verse number 1. When David is prophesying the words of Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary, everything about him has been prophesied. He fulfilled the plan of God. We are not believing in a dead God. We are not believing in an empty faith. We believe in Jesus who rose up from the dead. The power of God gave him the power to break the bondage of death once and for all. Hallelujah. Break the bondages of hell once and for all. Break the bondage of grave once and for all. How is that going to make an impact for us? Just like Jesus broke death and the grave and hell. If you are dead in Christ, when the voice of Jesus, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the shout of Jesus will come in the clouds, it says that the dead in Christ will rise up. Just like Jesus was the first fruit, we are going to rise up from the dead one day. And just like he got an immortal, glorified body, we are going to wear an immortal, glorified body one day. This world is passing through. Our bodies are temporary. They are getting more and more damaged and worn out every day as you live on this earth. But our inner man has to be strengthened. One day as we see him, everything will be changed about us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He, just like he predicted many times, he resurrected on the third day. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, to the woman returning to the tomb, to Peter, to the Emmaus disciples, to the apostles, to James, and also to the group of 500 people that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians. Group of more than 500 believers on a Galilean mountain. He appeared, his resurrected person appeared. Today he has risen from the grave. Today he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's interceding for us today. The question is